Thank you for listening to the Grace Harvest Church podcast. For more information, go to graceharvestchurch.org.
27 years ago, almost 28 years ago, 27 years ago, I was invited to go to the Philippines by a man named Peter Mayem. And he was the one who invited me first. And it changed my life. And we made a number of connections as a church. And at that point, we decided to get involved with supporting a children's home, an orphanage, and going and doing conferences and supporting other ministries over there. And we developed friendships. And we came to the conclusion that God wanted us to be in a long-term relationship with the nation of the Philippines. Not just a short-term thing that we threw some money at for a while and then moved on, but something where we built long-term relationships, because that's our philosophy of missions work. We believe that we should continually work with, build up, and strengthen the nation that we're involved in. And this young man was in that first trip. He was 16, 17 years old and really ornery and you know, just kind of a little bit of a rebel. No, he is actually a really good son, to Peter Mayem. His name is Joshua Mayem. And we began to develop a relationship and a friendship. And now Josh is a pastor of the church that his father started. And he's done an incredible work there. And he's part of a network of churches. And he also is helping lead other leaders. And he leads a youth and young adults movement in their city and in their region. He's a very respected leader in the Philippines, and also an incredible communicator, pastor, preacher, and I think the thing that I love best about Josh and Marianne, his wife, is that I can call them friends. So will you put your hands together and welcome Joshua Mayem and give him your full attention? Yeah.
Good morning. It's so good to be here. So like I told the first service, it's always a privilege for me to be here, and I always enjoy my time here. We have friends here that we have known for a very long time, but not just friends, but people we are honored to call our family, the friends who have become family, and I'm grateful for that. I don't know if Pastor Doug sees us as family, but we treat him as family as much as we can when he comes to the Philippines. I just love the opportunity to be here. And I'm happy to bring greetings from Lifeway La Trinidad. That's the name of the church that we pastor with my wife, Marianne, and our three kids. And it's so great always just to come into a house like this, you know. And you know, I've gotten the privilege to visit other churches and other houses. And sometimes I come into a house and I kind of start to have to feel myself in, and you know, have to acclimate, you know, in a sense. But I come to Grace Harvest, and it's like family. You know, it's home, and I'm grateful for that. I really am. So, pray for me that we are able to end early. Pastor Doug says I have to get in line and not make you hungry. So I will try my best. So let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, that you are God. You are faithful. You are kind. You are good. You're the God who cares for us. You walk us through, oh Lord God, the different seasons of our lives. You are in control. And Lord God, all that we need to do is trust you. And Lord, we realize so many times we struggle and we go against what you want to do. But Lord God, just right here in this moment, Lord, as we are seated here in your presence, Lord, cause our hearts to be open to receive what you want to say. Oh, Lord God, we want to submit to your word, the power of your word, Lord, so that, Lord, we're not just here to listen, oh, Lord God, to any good ideas, oh, Lord God. We want to be instructed. And, Lord, I pray that you would anoint us so that we would be ready to obey. So be with us, oh, Lord God. And, Lord, let your name be glorified in this place. And everybody say, amen, amen, hallelujah. So, I want to bring a word this morning that I'm praying will challenge all of us, because it really is challenging me right now in terms of where we are as a church and where we are as a family. It has been a season of stretching for us. It has been a season of God just taking us through some things where it looked a little bit like it was in the past, maybe the same challenges, maybe same degree of difficulty, but you know, it's really different as well in terms of where we are and in terms of, you know, who is with us as a people. And you know, some things can be the same, but some things can be different as well. And in the many seasons that we go through, there is one thing that we can take comfort in, and that's that we can trust God, because the Bible says that He is a God who never changes. Amen. Amen. You know, that we can change our opinions, our feelings. There's so many things that can change. You know, we can be so dead set on doing something like this, and then suddenly, you know, veer off and go to the left, go to the right, whatever. But God never changes. Amen. He's constant. He's always the same. And we can count on that, right? And I'm grateful for a God that never changes personally in my life. So if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, verse 15 to 29. Matthew 25, verse 15 to 29. And I'm going to read it faster, because I don't want to be late, and I want to be invited back. The wise man once told me that if you want to be invited back, you speak fast and end early. So that is the Filipino way. Okay, Matthew chapter 25, verse 15, all the way until verse 29. And if you have not done your Bible reading for this week, this is the perfect chance to do it. We're going to do it together. All right, verse 15. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Some say ability. And he went abroad at once, and going, he who had received the 5 talents traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the earth and hid his Lord's silver. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and took account with them. And so he who had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, you gave me, delivered 5 talents to me. Behold, I have gained 5 talents above them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Verse 22, he also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered 2 talents to me. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents above them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Verse 24, and he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the earth. Lo, you have yours. Oh. His Lord answered and said to him, evil and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gathered where I did not scatter. Then you should have put my money to the exchangers, and coming I would have received my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Verse 29, the last one, for to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will abound. But from him who has not, even that which he has shall be taken away from him. Now that's our main text this morning. If you could turn really quickly to Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to 40. Matthew 27, verse 37 to 40. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets, right? So Matthew chapter 22 makes it clear to us, God is first. Amen? God is first in everything. God is first in all of our lives. There can be no one else above God. But then it also follows up to say, it's clear that people come second. Amen? People come second. So this morning I want to talk about capacity. And I believe that God is always wanting to increase our capacity. And as it is with our love, everything has to start with God. So that we cannot be able to give unto people if we do not come to the Lord first. We're not able to give anything to anyone because people are second, God is first. Right? And so it's important that we understand that. I think many times we venture out and, you know, with a desire to, you know, to give ourselves out, to serve, to do whatever that it is that we can. But the truth is that we might be serving out of an empty cup. And the principle is that we cannot give what we do not have. And so what do we need to do? We need to go to the source first. We need to be filled first before we can go to people. In view of Matthew 22, everything starts with God. Everything starts with God. And if we want increase, it has to start with the Lord. I believe that, you know, and obviously I've had conversations with Pastor Doug on, you know, where maybe you are as a church, you know. But I believe God is wanting to increase your capacity. There is a deep desire in the heart of God to dig deeper than He has done in the past. There is a deep desire of God to do something that maybe you've not experienced in the past. The truth of the matter is, when God wants to expand us and increase our capacity, nobody ever volunteers. Nobody ever wants to be increased. No one, not anyone who's going to go up to the Lord, you know, and say, "Lord, increase my capacity." No. We're satisfied where we are. That's our default. Right? And so what does God do? He has to maybe many times forcefully lead us into situations that are very hurtful, painful, you know, situations where we get broken up. And it seems like all the pieces of our hearts are on the floor and God picks them up to put them back together again so that He can form what He wants to form in our hearts. Many times He has to break us before He can build us back up. Because there are things that have become so rigid, so hard in our hearts, right? That in order for Him to change that, He has to break us. And so the process of enlarging our capacity is never something that we enjoy. It's never something that we want and we ask for from the Lord. But because He's a faithful God, because He's a loving God, you know, He will lead us through not just moments and not just times of or days of enlarging and breaking, but He will even lead us through seasons. And those are long, long times where, you know, it feels like, you know, why is it like this? And we're starting to question the Lord. But really all of it is in line with His purpose. Amen. So, Matthew chapter 25, verse 15, to the one He gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his individual capacity. That's the Weymouth translation. Now, the dictionary defines capacity this way: the power of receiving and holding ideas, knowledge, and the like. The comprehensiveness of the mind, the receptive faculty, the capability to understand or to feel. It is an ability or power pertaining to or resulting from the possession of strength, wealth, or talent and the possibility of doing, right? In the simplest definition, it simply means the ability to hold stuff, right? That's capacity, okay? So that if I would ask you a question, if you were a container, how big is your container, right? If your heart was a container, how big is it? Is it the size of this water bottle? Is it a liter? Is it a gallon? Is it a whole big drum of a container? Because you are somebody who is able to, you know, to able to minister to many people, not just one, right? We were talking about this with Pastor Doug this morning driving up. He says that he is not an extrovert, but an ambivert, right? My problem with that is it's not biblical. There's nothing in the Bible that talks about introvert and extrovert and ambivert. Hello, are you there? You know, people say, but you know, my personal, well, in the Bible, it doesn't say anything like that, you know? Yeah. I'm preaching to myself, don't worry. It's me, I'm talking about me, okay? So, back to Matthew chapter 25, verse 16 and 17. Going, he who had received the 5 talents, traded with them, made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who had received 2, he also gained another 2. Now, this is the tragedy of this story is found in verse 24. The guy, there's always that one guy, right? The guy who received 1. Why can't it be the other guy with the 5, right? You know? But this guy, he had received 1, and he says, "Lord, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not scatter." Luke 19, a synoptic gospel, says this: "I was constantly afraid of you, because you are a stern, hard, severe man. You pick up what you did not lay down. You reap what you did not sow." It's interesting because this servant uses the analogy, the image of sowing. I come from an agricultural, you know, region up in the mountains. We plant highland vegetables is what we call it, right? We have all the cut flowers that you can think of. It's very nice. It's a nice area. I love it. You know, it's not like the other places that some of you guys go to, but you still want to go there, but it's okay. It's okay with us. Okay. A little bit of an inside joke there. But when we talk about sowing, we understand that, even for you guys who know what it means to plant, right? When you sow, it means to scatter about. Sowing means you have to throw away seeds. The servant who is using this says to his master, "You are someone who reaps what he does not sow." Now, when we think about sowing, we think about the farmer throwing away seed. When you plant, when you sow seed, you're actually taking a risk, right? You take a risk because you do not know how much crop you will produce. You do not know what if a storm comes. We are in a storm season right now where I come from, you know. And many times they would declare over our region, we have two seasons in the Philippines. It's wet and wetter, okay? So we have, you know, it's like all the water in the ocean just comes pouring down, right? And so it destroys all the crops. And so the farmers have to borrow money from the government so that they can replant. But what if another storm comes again? And that's, you know, usually what happens. So they lose their crops again, right? So a farmer will always have that risk of losing out. You know, there is a little bit of gamble involved, you know. Because what if, you know, if it's not storms, what if it's a pest that comes along that destroys all the crops? So even in this story, we have an understanding somehow that capacity is not about how much you can save, but how much you can be trusted with to sow, to plant, and believe for it to multiply. Right? We can say then that the master did not give based only on his servant's ability to receive. The master did not only give based on his servants, you know, how much I can trust you with, but more importantly, he gave based on their ability to give, to release, to take a risk, right? The servants traded their five, their two, but the servant who had one did not want to risk it. He wanted to play it safe, right? He could not bury himself that, you know, when the master comes, he might lose it and maybe the master will give him a hard time about it, you know. My feeling is this: what if all along we've misunderstood or not fully understood what capacity it is about? That it is not what you have, but really about what you can give. That it is not how much you can keep or contain, but how much you can give away. Right? There is that song that came up in a Disney movie, and oh, I get nightmares, right? But the lyrics are, "Let it go." And it plays over and over and over. But what if capacity is not how many people you can hold and influence and try to control, but really about how many people you can bless and even let go and release, right? Is that mother eagle spreading out its wings and even pushing out the eaglets, falling down, you know, that high tree, but it's so that they can learn how to fly. Because the truth is, if we do not know how to let go, we cannot have more. If we do not know how to let go, we cannot have more. What if capacity is not about how many good words that you've heard in church, but really about how many you have actually shared to people around you? You know, God doesn't want to give you a big head so that you can carry it around and it's so heavy you have to be, you know. No, he wants to give you a big heart. And that grows when we are able to speak life to people. Be a testimony. Be light. That's who we're supposed to be. Right? Amen. It's not about how many ideas you have bubbling inside of your creative mind. You know, people talk about creativity. I think creativity is more about not just the ideas that you keep hidden or that's percolating inside there, but it's really about what comes into reality or out into reality. Amen. So capacity is not about storage, but about outflow. What comes out of your heart. Capacity is measured not by how much your vessel can contain. You know, we have so many people like that. They're saving stuff for themselves. I'm saving this for me. I'm saving this for my children. I'm saving this. And you know, I understand that in a way. But what if really God has called us to be just this open vessel where it's all flowing out? And we're supposed to be poured out to people. We're supposed to be used by the Lord. Amen. So our challenge, the challenge that I want to bring to you this morning as a church for the now is, so how do we enlarge? How do you and I enlarge our capacity? The Bible says, if you are faithful in the little, you will be faithful with much. You're faithful with the little, you will be faithful with much. Capacity enlarges when we are faithful with the little things that God gives us. When Jesus came, he says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, right? You move and be thrown into the sea. I love that because God does not set huge standards and requirements. He just comes and says, all I need from you is just a little bit. The bare minimum. If you've ever seen a mustard seed, some of it is even transparent. You can miss it. You know? But Jesus says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain. Right? So what is the little that you have? And you're thinking, you know, I think I need more of God. I need more of God. And God is saying, how can I trust you with more? You don't even use the little that you have. Right? Think about that. It's about being faithful to sow and to let it go. Right? The soil does not bless the man who holds the seed in his hand, only the man who releases the seed and plants it. Capacity is about us being able to release and let go. Okay? Now, what is capacity for? What is capacity for? This is what I believe capacity is for. Romans chapter 13 verse 8 says this. Keep out of debt and owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor, who practices loving others. I love that part. Who practices. So you don't get it the first time you try. You're supposed to practice it and get better with loving people. Hello? Has fulfilled the law relating to one's fellow man, meeting all of its requirements. Right? Look at that. When you became a Christian, the Bible says you owe people. Turn to the person next to you and say, you owe me. Right? Think about, we owe people. And the Bible says, what do we owe them? We owe them love. We owe them love. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but Romans chapter 13 verse 8 in another paraphrase, the MSG paraphrase says this, don't run up debts except for the huge debt of love you owe each other. When you love others, you complete what the law has been after all. So here I am, I'm trying to love people as much as I can. And then the Bible says I actually have a huge debt that I owe to people. And that makes it even more difficult, right? I'm trying. And then the Bible says I gotta, oh my goodness. You know? Oh, no man except to love. Oh, no man except to love. Love is the most talked about, sang about, and all of those other things. It's an idea many times. When the Bible says it's a verb, it's supposed to be acted out. But we could miss it simply because everyone is talking about it and we get an overload of information, but not necessarily an obedience to love, which is what the Bible says. You know, just because you're listening to it 24/7 does not mean you're doing it. Just because you hear it and see it and smell it does not mean you actually experience it. You know, it's like going to the most delicious, expensive restaurant that you can think of and being overwhelmed with all the scent and the, you know, looking at this beautiful, you know, savory dishes and smelling all of that and then walking away and saying, I'm full. When you never even tasted something, right? See, for love to be real, you must not only be able to receive it, but be able to give it. I think that the greatest validator to love, you know that you're able to love when you're able to give it away. Right? Because Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. What is that which you are called to give? As we are growing and maturing in Christ, our love for God and for people must be growing and maturing too. If it is not, then we are headed in the wrong direction. Many times, the will of God for our lives does not involve us. It involves the people around us. So that it is in the serving, in the loving, in the giving away of ourselves that we discover who we really are. Some people never truly understand their identity simply because they've not allowed God to use them. They've not allowed God to, you know, put them in situations where they can serve. If we do not serve, we will not discover hidden gifts and talents that maybe God has already pre-deposited. If we do not serve, we never discover who we really are. If we do not allow ourselves to be given away, we will have a very limited view of our own selves. Matthew, that verse that we read, you know, makes it clear. This one guy, he kept it. And the Bible says that, you know, the guy who had more was actually given from whatever that guy lost, right? Isn't it a wonder that God will give more to those who are willing to give? God gives more. You know, we might be out here complaining, Lord, they already have more. Why are you giving them more? Well, because they're willing to be used. They're willing to be used. You know, as a pastor, I've seen so many people come to the altar, you know, and responding. And this is primarily with young people, so I can excuse the older people, more mature people in the room. But, you know, so many young people come crying to the altar and you say, Lord, use me, right? And then after a season, you find them walking away and quitting. And they're saying, I don't want to anymore. These people are just using me, right? Wasn't that your prayer when you came to the altar? Wasn't that what you wanted to when you came to the Lord? Right? See, our assignment is that we become a church that loves people. And we would become a house that loves the community. A people who love their neighbor, especially those who aren't worthy or seem very difficult to love. That's who we're called to be. I came from a mission conference. This guy that I was talking with says, we're called to go to the nations, but also to cross the street to our neighbors. You know, God's not looking for super saints like Mother Teresa who's going to go to, you know, a faraway land and do something supernatural, right? Many times he's just asking us to go to this one person and maybe pat them on the back and say, come on, keep going. Maybe that's all the encouragement that they will receive. But maybe that's all the encouragement that they need. Maybe they're just waiting for that one person to encourage them, to lift them up, to build them. Many times I think we live with such insensitivity because we say that we're used to it. And you know, I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to come off. You know, so many excuses, right? We'll never run out of excuses. But the truth of the matter is God sends us out in so many moments, in so many times of our lives. And the truth is we refuse. You know, we stop ourselves from being used by the Lord. I love this because You know, we so many times we pass off, you know, the responsibility to others because we think that they're better, they're more anointed, they're, you know, that's who they are, they're in ministry, that's, you know, Pastor Doug, you know, maybe we need Pastor Doug times 5 or times 10 just so that he can do everything that everybody wants to pass off. But really the reality is God is pointing his finger at us. The spotlight is on us. The spotlight is on you, and he's saying, you are the man for the job. You are the daughter, and you've come for such a time as this. Right? We need to see God putting the responsibility on us. Because there are people that no matter how gifted some of these people in the room are, they will never reach those who are in your circle. There is something that you have that God has put in you so that you can speak to them. There's something that you carry that God can use. Amen. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 says this. And what a comfort. What an encouragement. He said to me, my grace is enough for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So then I will boast most gladly about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may reside in me. Therefore, I am content with weakness, with insults, with troubles, persecutions, and difficulties for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. The weaker I get, this is the paraphrase, the weaker I get, the stronger you become in me. When I have less of me, then I can have more of God. Right? There is this song that we used to sing. That's a gathering song. And it's a song that's an old song. You know, the Pentecostals use. Usually they do it at the beginning or the middle of the service. And the lyrics go, oh, I love you with the love of the Lord. You know? It never hit me. You know, it never really hit me that much until I realized that, you know, it has to be true. We have to love each other with the love of the Lord, because the truth is, I do not have anything to give you if I love you. There is nothing in me that would benefit you. So what do I have to do? I need to come to the source of love, who is love, the embodiment and the perfection of love, the perfect expression of love. Amen. The widow with two mites in Mark chapter 12 teaches us something here this morning as I sort of bring this to a close and challenging you. And I know I've been saying the same things, but you understand what I'm talking about here this morning. God is wanting to bring an increase. God is wanting to bring a stretching and an enlarging of our capacity. But it's not about how we can keep for ourselves. It's about how we can allow the Lord to use us. You know, God does not value ability as much as he looks for availability. He does not look for, you know, talents and giftings. He's looking for that person who will say, yes, yes, Lord. I don't know how you're going to use me, but okay. I don't know if I can even do it, but okay, yes, Lord. And I don't know if there's some people in the room here this morning, but I want to challenge you. God's speaking to you. He wants to enlarge your capacity because he wants to use you in a greater way, even beyond your understanding or your imagination. This is what it says in Mark chapter 12, verse 41 to 44. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money in the treasury. Many who were rich put in much, and one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. So Jesus is sitting down, it's people watching. Who does that? People watch, right? Right? Jesus is going and he's looking at all these people who have, you know, who have so much, and they're giving so much, And then this little widow, this woman comes along and she gives two mites. Two mites in the value of this in this time is like one over 64th of a day's salary. That means it's just loose change. Anybody can give it, right? You know? So these people, they gave so much more than the woman could give, could ever give probably in her life. But then this woman comes along, drops two coins, and God, Jesus says, she gave all that she had. I'm going to reinforce this to say, God measures what we give, not by how much we give, but by how much is left. All these people, they gave so much, but they still had so much more left. Right? It was convenient for them to give even. It was easy for them to give. But for this widow, when she gave, there was zero. Nothing left. Nothing was there. And so Jesus steps out to say, you know what? She gave so much more than all of you. What if Jesus is looking to empty us out and pour us out like water to those who are thirsty, and use us and make our lives like bread for the hungry? I believe that is true for this house and this church. God's looking to bring increase and an enlargement of capacity. I believe it in my heart. I know it in my heart. Some of you here this morning, I was speaking this morning, the first service, but this is the perfect time, I guess, for me to use this. Some of you have been used by the Lord, and He has the cup of your hearts in His hand. And yes, you've been willing. You've been allowing Him to use you. Use you more than you could ever think or imagine. But then we come to seasons where God uses us and pours us out. And I'm going to make a mess here. And, you know, we're like this. And we're saying, Lord, I have nothing more. I'm empty. There's nothing left. I want refreshing. I need to be refreshed. But still His hand is over our hearts, tipping us over, squeezing us to the last drop. And we're saying, God, I need to be refreshed. But God is saying, no, no. It's the only way for me to increase you is to empty you out. Until you see that it is I who can fill you again. Until you draw near to the source. You know, it's not an easy thing when we talk about the increase of our capacity, because it most likely 99% of the time will mean breaking of hearts. It most likely will mean changing of mindsets. But if we want the greater things that God has for us, we have to be willing. We have to be willing. Amen. Would you please stand with me? Would you hold out your hand and bow your heads? Hold out your hand like you're about to receive something. More than that, hold out your hand like you're about to give something to the Lord. What is it that He's asking? What is it that He is desiring for you to give and give away? Increase us and come if we don't release and let go first. If we don't allow Him to pour us out like water. So right there, right here in this moment, just a few moments, just it's between you and the Lord. Whatever He's speaking to you, I pray that you would respond. I pray that you would have the grace to say yes. I pray that you would have the boldness to say, I don't know, but I say yes. Yes, I want increase. My capacity to love. my capacity to serve. Yes, I want you to increase me. Father God, I thank you for this time, and I thank you, Lord, for the word that you've spoken over us. I pray, oh Lord God, that you would search our hearts and know us. And Lord God, that we would be willing vessels, oh Lord, to be used, to be poured out, even to be used over and over again, so that it would all be for your glory. I pray, oh Lord God, that we would learn, oh Lord Jesus, to let go, oh Lord God, and not hold things to ourselves. I pray even, oh Lord God, for some of the people here that you would, Lord, cause us to be emptied out so that you can, Lord, fill us afresh, fill us anew, but also increase our capacity. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Will you join me in saying thank you to Pastor Josh for bringing us a beautiful word? Thank you. That was a beautiful word, right on time, perfect for us. Amen. Wasn't that a perfect word for us? Before we leave, I just want to say something to you. You know, he made mention earlier of John 3:16, for God so loved that he gave his son. And you may be here today and you don't yet know the Son. You don't realize he's been given to you. But all day, you may be feeling a tug. You're aware that God is kind of tapping your shoulder and drawing you toward him. You've felt his presence here. You've felt his love. But more than that, you've come to understand that God gave Jesus for you to redeem you, to take all the brokenness of your past and all the bad decisions, all the things that hang over you of shame. He's come to remove those things, and he's come to redeem you. He's come to give you a new life. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus yet, but you do believe. You've come to believe that Jesus was crucified for you. You've come to believe that Jesus rose from the dead, that he's alive, that he's the king, that he rules all of creation, that he is the savior. He's the rescuer of people who need rescue. And if that's you and you want to know more about that and you want somebody to pray with you, to talk with you about that, we have a cross in the back of our church. And there are people at that cross, and they want to meet you. They want to pray with you and for you. They want to give you a Bible and a little book about how to follow Jesus. So he'll be not just the Savior, but he'll be your Savior. And you can do that today before you leave here. And I want to challenge you and plead with you. Please do that before you leave here. Talk to Delene. Talk to somebody back there at the cross and say, I want to know about Jesus. Amen? And now let me bless you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. That means to lift up his face and smile upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. Go with God because he goes with you. Amen. God bless you. Hey, how's it going? Pastor Doug here. I just want to welcome you to come to Grace Harvest Church. This is a really healthy, alive church family. It's a great place for you to grow in your faith, a great place for you to make connections with people. We worship God passionately, and we really have a desire to make disciples, that is, people who follow Jesus and become like him. And I'll tell you, this is a great place if you're struggling in your life and you're discouraged or you have a lot of questions about God. Maybe you're just a seeker. This is a great place to encounter his presence, to get to know him. We study the Bible. We learn from the scripture together. And really our whole purpose and our whole journey is to know Jesus more and to connect as his people. So I want to welcome you. I want to invite you. I want to say come to Grace Harvest Church. We're here on Sundays at 9 and 11. You'll be embraced. You'll be welcome. We're a very friendly church. Not only that, you'll get a free coffee. God bless you.